Get all the gases out.
Get all the gases out. It's probably a good thing to get all the gases out. Anyway, this we are now recording, Dill. So, I guess without further ado, welcome everybody to the very first episode of the On The Cast podcast. Did I say that right? Probably not.
You said it right. I'm pretty happy with it. And best of all, we're degassed.
Degasses, nothing coming out of our mouths or the other side of the thing. So we're all good to go.
What's the other side, Rich?
No, don't worry about it, Dylan.
Are you sure?
We don't talk about that on this podcast. We're a wholesome fishing podcast.
So, who are we?
Who are we? Well, who are you, Dylan? Who are you? Tell me about you. Who are you?
Well, I am a young boy.
How young is young?
Ripe old age of 25.
Jeez, you're old.
Getting up there, mate.
That's right. So you're 25. I'm 26. My name is Mitchell McMaster / Mitch McMaster. Yeah, only my mum calls me Mitchell. So don't do that, Dylan, or anyone else for that matter. So don't do that.
It doesn't roll off the tongue well.
Mitch. No, Mitchell McMaster, not good. Mitch McMaster, a little bit better, but still not great. So thanks for that, mum. It's been good. What have you been up to, Dill?
Oh, well, I'm in Melbourne, so it's been pretty bleak. Can't drink the water, but as of tonight, I can. So I'm enjoying a nice glass here.
What was wrong with your water?
Oh, so we had a huge power outage the other day, like the whole of Melbourne did, and a bit of water that was in one of the dams, I think it was Sylvan to be in particular, leaked into the main supplies, went into the pipes, into our homes, and a bit of bad bacteria in there.
That sounds fantastic.
So in the middle of lockdown, you can't leave your house, can't go anywhere, can't do anything. Very, very fishless few weeks. And on top of that, can't drink your water. A few houses were out without power, but I was lucky enough I wasn't one of those.
Yeah, that sounds like it sounds horrible in itself, just being in Melbourne. You could have been anywhere else in the whole of Australia, possibly the world. Well, not at the moment, really. All of Australia. And you chose to be in Melbourne. So
make the most of the world. But anyway, Mitchell, where are you and what are you doing?
Where am I? So I'm in Geelong. So I'm just around the corner from Melbourne, about an hour and a bit drive from Dill. So on the other side of the bay, I don't know if it's the better side of the bay. It depends how you think about fishing in Victoria.
In the big scheme of things, we'll go with that.
Yeah, so I'm going to say at the moment.
We'll all look at a map. We don't know to explain. I'm sure you're all big boys and girls, so you'll be right.
That's right. If you need to find where Geelong is in response to Melbourne, then, yeah, Google Maps is your best bet for that. But, yeah, I'm in Geelong. So at the moment, not so bad. We're sitting in stage three restrictions, which means I am allowed to go fishing. However, seeing as we're only in stage three restrictions, I'm also allowed to work. So I've been flat out like a lizard drinking, working two jobs, 55 hours a week. So just making cash money to fund this project, really.
Oh, you have got a few good fish in there. So for those who don't know, Mitch is more on the fly side of things, a young fly connoisseur just breaking out. Snapper, a few estuary perch, future valley.
That's right.
Not everyone gets on those straight away, so that's been awesome.
That's right. So yeah, my first session recently, saltwater fly fishing, I managed to go to one location and get estuary perch, snapper, up to about 2 kilos, and a few trevally, snotty and silver trevally on fly as well. So yeah, I'm predominantly fly fishing, but like, I don't really care. Catching a fish is a fish as long as you do it on the cast, as the name suggests. Trolling is for people that don't know how to fish. So that's what I firmly believe. So don't troll.
Well, troll to your heart's content, but yeah. I'm only back in the boat having a whinge and a cry and pissing everyone off when we troll. It's degrading to my soul. I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're not fishing if you're trolling, but I'm just saying it's wrong. Quite frankly, trolling's wrong, so don't troll. Harling, the fly fishing equivalent of trolling, also wrong.
Well, we've got a few people raging there out where casting trolls.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, we're casting trolls. Cast, don't troll.
With your dad trolls, you've got two mums.
That's right. And as the beards would say, if your dad doesn't have a beard, then you've got two mums too. So Dylan and I are lucky enough to grow facial hair. So our kids one day, when we have them, are going to have a couple of dads. So we'll be right.
It's piss poor, but it's coming along. There's a bit of fluff.
You know? Oh, well, yours was better. You just cut it off a bit. So I wouldn't recommend it, that's for sure.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. Well, I guess we'll be going back to fishing later. But for now, I think what we'll just run through what our podcast is about and whatever all the listeners can expect.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have read about it, but we haven't actually written down anything about what our podcast is really about, nor have we made the proper discussion as to what it is going to be about. But I figured we'll fly off the seat of our pants and see what we think our podcast is about. So, Dale, what do you reckon our podcast is going to be about?
Well, fish. They'll be in there. Fishing in particular, I'd say.
Yep.
But more so, well, we thought it'd be pretty cool to combine, like, my main passions are, like, light tackle lure fishing, and then right on the other side of that, heavy tackle top water, so a lot of offshore stuff. If it's big, it eats a stick bait, it eats a popper, makes a big commotion and wants to tear your arms off, that gets me pretty moist. But as I said earlier, all the brims, the trouts, the yellow belly, cod, anything like that, if it smashes a lure, particularly off top, that has got my name written all over it. That's what I love. And obviously Mitch loves fly fishing. So we wanted to combine the two. It's a funny thing in the fishing world. Like, I'm sure a lot of you have picked up, there seems to be a big divide a lot of the time between lure and fly. And we sort of just wanted to combine the two and obviously swap over. Like, I know Mitch has a lot of background in lure fishing. I am the world's worst fly caster, but hey, I'm keen to give it a shot and knock over a few cool species along the way. We'll touch on that pretty soon, but yeah, we just want to talk about it, talk to other people of the same passion and see where it goes. We don't know what we're getting into. Could be horrific, could cut into our fishing time, but hey, let's find out.
Well, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, if we get to talk to other people that are like-minded in the fishing community, then we are at a win too. But I guess the way that I see this podcast running is me and you getting to do it to our weekly debrief behind a microphone. So basically just chatting out of garbage and talking fishing, but also like I said, what was that?
Plenty of garbage.
Plenty of shit talk, plenty of garbage. And it will loosen up as we go through these podcasts, I'm sure. I don't know what, like I've said, we have no idea what to expect from all of this. So we're having a bit of a red hot dip and trying to tell people about our fishing experiences and provide a bit of wisdom that we're probably not qualified to give.
Well, the best part is we get to leech off everyone else, if you want to say it like that. Like, we're keen to talk to people, get their point of view, throw ideas around, get different perspectives. Like, that's in all honesty, what I'm really excited about. Like, sure, we'll be doing trip debriefs and everything else, but...
So what you're saying, Dill, is basically you just want to take other people's information and then make your life a hell of a lot easier.
Oh, exactly. That's how you get friends in the fishing world.
Yeah, so some people might say staying connected, but other people would just say, yeah, just poaching people's information and taking their spots, really. So hopefully with any luck, you can just give us your spots and your locations and we'll go and poach your fish. So,
but bonus, you'll get to listen to everyone else.
Yeah, but like
information, and you can take that too. So if you listen to us.
Yeah, and if you don't listen to us, then it's just Dylan and I talking garbage to ourselves. So.
Which we do enough anyway. So
if you do enough, like off air, you should have heard. Yeah, we're keeping a PG here, sort of. We'll see how we go.
It's going to dabble up into M 15 years and old.
Yeah, M 15 plus, possibly. But yeah, anyway, so basically I reckon just talking fishing, talking what we know, trying to talk to people in the areas where we don't know what we're talking about and where we definitely are not qualified to talk about that sort of species, that way of tackling things, but also hopefully just getting connected with other anglers. And hopefully, with any luck, if this podcast goes well and everything else goes well, we'll be filming some content as well. So that's gonna mix in with this. Hopefully get us out of our comfort zone, fishing for different things, fishing in different ways.
Different styles, different techniques.
Like Dill said, Dill is not an overly proficient fly fisherman. And I would say neither am I. But I
compliment there too, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I would say that I'm not the most competent fly fisherman, although I am, I would say, dabbling, although I've invested enough money for just to say that I'm committed now to fly fishing. I've invested too much money over the last financial year. I did my tax return and claimed a bit of stuff on tax. So if you're from the ATO, turn it off now. And if you're not from the ATO, continue to listen. But yeah, I've spent all my money on fly fishing stuff. So, and if you're my girlfriend, sorry. I'm sorry for spending all my money. So, hey, you get that in the big jobs. All right, so moving on. So that's a bit about what our podcast is and like I said, hopefully getting into some YouTube content coming up soon. Well, when I say hopefully, we're just acquiring some gear, and then we're gonna hit the ground running. And Dylan and I, we quite like our good gear in terms of fishing, and we have some higher expectations of ourselves for our content when it comes to both podcasts. Well, not in terms of actual content, but in terms of YouTube, we want to film some good stuff, good eats, good quality fishing, in quality footage. So we're gonna I'm going to say pretty soon down the track, if we're allowed to go fishing anytime soon.
In 2 weeks' time, with any luck, we might be able to go fishing. So hopefully coronavirus drops off a little bit.
So I'd hazard a guess to say YouTube stuff, from whenever this is released, I'm going to say hopefully 6 weeks away. But we're going to try and make that super consistent. But we'll have to do with this at the moment. So that's a bit about what the podcast is about. Our expectations are low. Always low. Just keep them low, and then when you get something done right, well, happy days.
My expectations are rising already. I thought this was going to be a shitstorm, but hey, I think we're going well. I don't know if we've answered any questions in terms of what we're doing.
No.
I'd like to think it's been interesting.
Yeah, no. So I doubt it's been interesting so far, Dill, but we'll get there. Oh, and for those who don't know and possibly don't remember, Brimmaster Forum, Dylan was known as the Surf Coast Kid. So if I ever refer to Dylan as the Surf Coast Kid, that's him. Brimmaster Forum, I don't even know if it's still alive anymore. So
I heard Mr. Nathan Grass is dropping its name recently. So
really? As it in,
could be online. Maybe we'll have to have a bit of a dip into that.
Ooh, bit of a squeeze on the old Brimmaster Forums. Bring it back. So yeah, Dill just loves Dim. Dim probably does love Dims. Actually, he does. He used to work at a fish and chip shop in Torquay that sells the best Dim Sims battered. Anyway, so Dim, Dill, whatever you want to call him. Yeah, Surf Coast Kid, loves a brim. Loves a brim. Oh, and if we're going back into my background a little bit, yeah, I grew up chasing native fish, so Yellow Valley, not really cod. Basically, just Yellow Valley. Back home in little quaint Horsham, nestled in the western side of Victoria, chasing some yellows in the Wim River. So stay away from there. The yellow belly fishing isn't any good. Trust me. yeah, it's not good. So don't go there.
Can I go there?
With me and my permission.
All right, we'll make it work.
Only Hobies too, and only casting. No trolling. Remember that. All right. So we've touched on a couple of things. We touched a little bit about ourselves, and that we are not qualified for this, but we're just going to hit the ground running. And for what we don't lacking, for what we lack in qualifications, we make up for in passion. So we'll get onto that. So Dill touched on it a little bit before, but we're just going to go through the style of fishing. Obviously, we like to cast lures. We like to cast flies. But specifically, what style really gets us going? I'm gonna say what style gets us going at the moment. Well, Dill, obviously nothing gets Dill going at the moment because he can't fish. So if he could fish, true. What would Dill be doing right now?
If Dill could be out fishing at the minute, like it's a funny time of year. Like obviously we're coming into spring, a lot of wet weather, a lot of really, really windy weather. Like, and for those who don't know me and Mitch too well, we're both, well, we know each other from back in Warrnambool. We both lived there and went to uni there. Lived with each other for quite a while and fished together a lot. So this time of year down there, I will say, is the fishing's phenomenal. Like, you're getting a lot of rain, which in turn gets the runoff going with the trout. So, like, that's what I'd be doing at the minute. Big runoff brown trout in the Merai, the Hopkins, Mount Emu Creek. And for those who are thinking, oh, my God, you're fishing rivers now, those systems are open, stocked by fisheries, and they are phenomenal. And obviously, with those rivers pumping, you're going to get a lot of all your estuary species, brim, perch and mulloway down the front of those estuaries, and can be a little bit slow, but quality of fish is just insane, especially on the estuary perch side of things where, I don't know, me and Mitch, we've been doing that for, 4 or 5 years now, I'd say?
Yeah, that's right. 4 or 5 years. 2 years ago, just before we departed Warrnambool, we were smashing estuary perch. Last year, I was lucky enough to be working down there with one of both of our former bosses. And also all around generally amazing dude, Scotty Great. So we were down there with him. But yeah, last year I was still able to go out and on the rivers and catch a couple of estuary perch as well. So that's one thing we'll bring in. I think we're planning an estuary perch mafia episode coming up soon. So
Off-coast series, like EPs, I think they're a bit of a weakness for us both, whether it be Eastern Vic, but Western Victoria, I think that's where our hearts lie for that species.
Oh, that's right. Like,
I hope our minds can be changed. I really am keen. Like, the past year, I've been exploring out in far East Gippsland a bit and had a bit of success on the EPs. It's pretty awesome, but, like, just the Jurassic fish in Western Victoria, like, obviously, we know them well. It's hard to beat going down to the Hopkins, those
Dylan,
systems.
Dylan, we talked about this.
I know.
Don't go to the Hopkins. It's not good. Just don't go there.
It sucks.
And if you're going to chase in the Hopkins, definitely don't go to Two Room Stones. Don't go there. It's not good.
We're going to delete that bit.
Yeah, no, we're not. We're not editing. We don't edit, Dylan.
Well, lucky people getting hints.
yeah, you might. You never know. You might get a free tip. Free, yeah, a couple of free ones from here.
We'll try not.
But yeah. So you'd be fishing.
To answer the question, I'd say if I was fishing at the minute, I would be going, yeah, Western Victoria trout and estuary perch. That'd be my main target. What about you, Mitch? Would you be like-minded, or is there something else?
To be fair, it's actually been a hot minute since I targeted some southwest trout, but I've seen a couple of the boys down there, name dropping Tim Vincent. The Jerkers have obviously been doing a bit of a run. Old mate Scotty Gray I haven't seen too many trout coming from him, so maybe he's not venturing too far from his local.
What does that mean if you haven't seen photos? Says it all.
What it means is that the photos are coming. But they'll be late, so go fishing probably now, I'd say. Sorry, Scotty, for blowing out your spots. Actually, we haven't blown out all his major spots, but yeah.
Not yet, that'll be coming.
We're probably going to lose some friends out of this. We've talked about this, probably going to lose some friends, but for what we lack in friends, we're going to make up for in, I don't know, we're going to make up for in fishing spots, hopefully. We're going to take all your fishing spots. But yeah, as far as
along the way too, I'm keen for this.
What was that? Sorry.
Good bakeries along the way.
Bakeries. You might have to do a whole dedicated episode to bakeries.
Series again. Make everything a series.
Everything. Yeah, everything is series. To be fair, I don't know. Anyway, as far as what I would be doing in terms of fishing right now, I actually really, really want to try and get some decent snapper on fly. It's a bit of a task. But I really want to get some snapper on fly. Locally, there's a few spots around Geelong that haven't been too bad. But yeah, I'm interested to go try and sound a few up, find a few out deep. And with luck, I can nab myself a good snapper. But it's hard to go past southwest trout. Those trout are voracious little predators. And runoff period, you can't get better time. Slightly dirty water, floating hard bodies, casting it all, like all the riffles, all the runs, behind rocks.
Predictable style of fishing. Like, if anyone is going to go down there, don't think you're going to go and smash, say, 20 fish in a session like you might up at the Goulburn or the Rubicon or any of those northeast systems. Like, if you get two or three fish a day, you're doing well, but expect those fish to be big. Like, that 2.5 to 5 pound fish, that's down that way. That's a classic common size trout. And if you whack a big one, you could be looking, if you're super lucky, you could be looking at a double digit fish. Like, you always hear rumors of a fish or two that size every year down there. I haven't been that lucky yet, but there's every chance.
Yeah, well, didn't Jerker get a really nice, was it 7 pound fish?
He's had a few about seven. Like, I've only got a couple up around that, but you normally hear a few every year that size getting about. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you remember that one time we went to Spot X deal and I was throwing that, what was it, the 60 mil double clutch?
Oh my God. This was my first ever session with you, actually. And my first ever day on the Hopkins. Like,
yeah. Was that your introduction to the Southwest Trout, me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, rightfully so. I was good at my day.
That's an interesting topic, actually. Like, how you and me met was...
We're getting there, Dylan. We're getting there. Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Don't want to spoil it.
Anyway, so, yeah, there was this day we were fishing Spot X. I was casting caramel sauce 60 mil double clutch. And we were just fishing this pretty large hole. I don't think there was too much flow. Like, it was pretty...
It was classic clear water. So, for those who don't fish the Hopkins, it's... You get, I don't know, four seasons in a year there, obviously, like anywhere else. That was the dumbest thing I've ever said. But
four seasons there in a day. It's called when you... It's not called...
Let's go with that. So, you get, like, the filthiest chocolate brown water, which that's what we refer to when you get the runoff, where the river's pretty much at normal level. It's flowing a bit higher than normal, but the water is filthy. But then contrastingly, the rest of the year, which is most of the time, it is gin clear. Like, I'm talking, if there's a pool that's, say, 3 to 4 meters deep, you will see every scraggle of weed and every fallen gum leaf on the bottom of that river, like crystal.
So it leads to some very exciting fishing. Anyway, we were fishing a hole. I don't know how deep it was, but we could not see the bottom. And I was just peppering a few casts away, casting it some... I don't know why I was casting it snags, but I was kind of casting just across, covering lots of water. Like,
an amazing reed line, I remember.
And then at the bottom of the hole, there was a nice riffle coming down as well. So, yeah, I was down there casting a 65 mil double clutch, and I got absolutely belted by, like...
One of the biggest fish I'd seen in the Southwest. That was a...
One of the biggest trout I've seen, for sure, definitely. Like, it would have hands down been the biggest trout that I've ever caught in my life. And anyway, I don't know if I did something wrong. It's probably my inability to fish, but I'm like, I think we were fishing on a reasonably high bank as well.
A few meters above the water, which is pretty typical from down there.
It doesn't narrow down any spot at all. But yeah, I was casting high up, and anyway, I hooked this monumental brown from spot X, and it just jumped. And through the hooks, but like, I've not seen a fish like that. It was, oh, what a fish.
I remember seeing, I think I saw a tear running down your face.
I still tear up about that fish.
I know.
I still,
every time I walk past there, I think about that fish, and I reckon it'd still be in there.
Maybe. There are a few cluey people now trying to target those fish.
Oh, absolutely. Which is great to see too. Like, they're a fun fish. You do the miles for them, but there's certainly some miles to gain. And they, fisheries do stock, 2,000 fish into the Hopkins alone every year, a lot more into the Merai. A lot of those fish die of old age. Like, for the amount of water you have to cut for those fish that spread, where they spread through, there's kilometres and kilometres and kilometres with only so many people fishing for them. So get down, give it a shot. Like,
and
they're cracking river fish.
And that's kind of the reason why you get such large fish, is the stocking density isn't as high as you'd get, say, in the lakes. Absolutely. So that just means you get bigger fish, which is fantastic in terms of if you're a sort of a more of a trophy fish hunter. But like, say for the Hopkins, for instance, they get all the way up to, they get nearly get to, like, what is it? What's the town before Mort Lake? Is it?
I'm going to leave this for you.
I've forgotten. I'd ask the maps, but I'm not going to get my phone out. So they go up, I'd say, it's sort of 30 Ks nearly, at least. Like, they go from wherever they were stocked.
Normally, is it something like that? One of those? I hope I've said that town right.
Probably. I don't know. Anyway, they go up a long way. So, like, 2,000 fish, they spread out. But what, like, for those, like, once it starts to flow, they just end up in the most predictable spots. But that's not saying that every predictable spot has a fish. You're going to have to cast to a lot of predictable spots.
You'll have times tearing your hair out because you haven't caught a fish from the most pristine, perfect, beautiful run, only to walk about 50 metres above it, put a cast into a putrid, horrible still pool or a rapid that's just belting down, and lo and behold, there's a 5.5-pound brown just sitting right at the bottom of your feet, and it's eating the lure, and you've slid it up the bank within 3 seconds of wondering what the hell just happened.
That's right. So, yeah, I guess we've gone into a bit of depth on this trout fishery. However, that's not what this episode is about. It's about getting to know. So, the runoff trout season, it's flowing a lot down there. Like, there's been a fair bit of rain down in the southwest, and those rivers are pumping. So we might actually do more of a bit more of a breakdown on, let's just say, runoff trout fisheries. It doesn't necessarily have to be the southwest of Victoria to go catch these runoff trout either. We've adopted these same principles for these, like, for trout in a bunch of different rivers, and it's all similarly predictable. There's been heaps of stuff written about it. Scotty Gray's written about it in a billion different episodes. Articles on Freshwater Fishing Magazine. It's pretty predictable, and there's, like, also, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to catch them on diving high bodies. Like, you can catch them on poppers, bent minnows, like the
big stream of flies.
Yeah, that's right. Big stream of flies. That's my goal, is to throw what the fly fishing community calls some serious meat. Throw some, swing some serious meat at some Mondo fish.
Big black meat in that dirty water.
That's it. Some big black meat in that dirty water. Now, like I said, I'm not the best trout fly fisherman. When it came to learning fly fishing, I did it a fair bit a few years ago when I was younger, before I moved down to Warrnambool. But I did that for trout. But at the moment, I've actually got back into it for a completely different reason, and that was chasing natives. So I went for a trip to Finland to see my girlfriend, my beautiful girlfriend, Rena. She's Finnish and she's back home in Finland now. So unfortunately, I don't get to see too much of her. But I went there and I went fishing for some pike using some conventional gear. So I was just using spinning gear. And actually was just targeting a couple of reddies. Caught this 92-centimeter pike. It's up on our Instagram. Check it out. It doesn't look that big because Marina can't take fishing photos, and that's a completely different story for another time.
One of those photos is not too bad, but I think the coolest part of that story, now I just you just jotted my memory, Redfin Mitchell. What did that pike eat? So I am by no means do I know a thing about the old European pike, northern pike, whatever you may call them, but you wouldn't really use 4-pound leader in a Z-Man grub, would you?
No, but that's kind of basically what I was doing. So I was using a 2.5-inch little grub, casting for perch out of the summer cottage that Rena had in Finland. Rena was rowing the boat. I've got some video of me fighting the fish that Rena filmed. I was out there with Rena and her sister Emma. Rena was so kind to just be rowing the boat. I said, hey, let's just go check out this little bank.
Rowing the boat, were you trolling?
No, I wasn't trolling. We don't, like I said, deal. We don't troll. Trolling is it's out of the picture. So I wasn't trolling, but no, there was this tasty looking little bank just across the way. So we put this boat in. Rena was rowing us across. Anyway, I put in a cast and I actually got bitten off. And I was like, surely not. Like, I'd been fishing a fair bit, just catching heap little perch, like in some more. I was doing actually some core style fishing stuff, so some bait under some, like bait under some little floats on. Oh, can you say wog poles now, Dill?
Of course you can.
All right, so
I will say I work in a tackle store, and the amount of times you get requested for the good old wog pole, that has not been affected by PC culture. Let's make that clear. Yeah. I am Wog myself, and we will be definitely using the term Wog pole.
All right. So I was using a Wog pole, a Wog pole that Rena's dad at Yuha bought for €2. And then a little bit, I think it came with a little bit of line and the float. So I was out there. He just dropped me off and I was fishing along this little ditch. Anyway, I was catching a few perch. Anyway, back to the story. We were on this bank. I got bitten off and I was like, surely not. Like surely, surely these pike aren't eating 2.5-inch like little paddle tails designed to catch perch. Albeit in one of my favorite colors of soft plastics for redfin that I've ever used, and they are so hard to find. Like Duro fire baits used to make this color. It was like this light pinky purpley top with like a clear belly with like silver fleck in it. I don't know if Dylan remembers that sort of color.
I still own a pack of Duro fire baits. I reckon I bought them from the Nelson Boat Hire. 2008 maybe.
Yeah, if you
remember buying this one packet of them and just slamming the EPs, and that was the color they wanted. It's almost like a translucent bait fish. So if anyone knows the little bait fish, yeah. We know like hardy head. That's what they're known by in a lot of areas.
Smelt. Any small forage fish.
And imagine that sexy little bait fish color in the most awesome purpley hue running through the bottom of its cracker.
Absolutely, absolutely delicious, delicious little.
I might even have to do myself, like it looks that good.
Yeah, if anybody sees them, by the way, we'll just ask us and send them down to us, and we'll use them, and we'll send you photos, and we'll appreciate you forever.
Mulloway brim trout EPs.
That is coming up just in
Let's
a few
not say
minutes.
That word. Move on.
Anyway, so bitten off, cast it out again, but retied. Cast out, hooked this thing, and I honestly thought I was hooked to the bottom. I was like, surely I'm hooked to the bottom. And then it starts like a few little head shakes, and then it just starts doggedly sort of fighting. Like, it wasn't a very hard fighting fish, albeit I couldn't put very much pressure on it, mainly because I was using 12-pound leader.
I was off.
Yep.
Slightly more sensible.
Yeah, it was slightly more sensible. I think it was between 8 and 12 pounds. It was, let's just put it this way, it's what you would sort of use to catch redfin. Like, it's pretty general tackle. Anyway, I landed this 92-centimeter pike, and I just thought to myself after that, and I was like, that was awesome. So I was just scrolling through Instagram, and I just came across, I was just Googling pike, I mean, Instagramming pike, and I saw this one guy, Nicholas Bauer, Swedish guy, absolutely sends it on the fly, catching pike, catching perch, trout, grayling, salmon, everything you can think of, man's a weapon on the fly. But I saw a lot of crossover between that and our native fish, and I guess that's technically sort of where our Murray cod fly fishing scene has sort of developed from, was from pike and musky fishermen. So I was looking at his stuff, and I was thinking, I catch a heap of fish. I catch a heap of yellows in the river back home. Actually, I'm sorry, guys. I actually don't catch any fish there. Don't go there. So I was thinking I catch quite a few yellows, just using conventional like bait casting gear, throwing lures, spinner baits. I was doing pretty well, and I just thought to myself, I'm gonna catch one fly. So
And for those who don't know, I will just make a note. Like, natives on fly, it's certainly been done and been done a lot, but it's certainly very much on the back end of styles and techniques that people use, like particularly yellow belly. Like, before, when Mitch was like, I'm going to go catch yellows on fly, I was like, oh, well, I'm sure they'll eat it. Like, you can present a fly to them. I can't see why they wouldn't, but surely there's better ways about it. But then I was like, that's a really cool way of targeting fish. Like, obviously it's something new. It's a tactic that fish haven't seen too much. And like, it's been growing in the cod scene, I'd say, obviously, Mitch, but.
Oh, definitely been growing in the cod scene. And in terms of yellow belly on fly, it's been done a fair bit, say at Lake Windermere. But having said that, that's one of the premier waterways in all of Australia in terms of golden perch fishing. So,
and very clear water compared to obviously a river. We've got slow, dirty, filthy brown water. And
that's right. So, I just thought to myself, I'm going to go catch my home fish on fly, doing something a bit different, just because I wanted a bit more of a challenge. So that's why I sort of got into fly fishing. And since getting into that, I've managed to tick golden perch off. I've ticked a significant number of Murray cod now on fly off. I wouldn't say I'm adept at it, but these weren't necessarily overly large fish. And Dill was kind enough to muff up the biggest fish photo, like the photo of the biggest fish. Because
what was the quote? I took the photo on a potato. I love that.
He took the photo on a potato. So I've got quite a good camera to take photos. Albeit it might not look like it on Instagram, but we are going to improve that from now on. But yeah, Dill took quite a potato shot of my quite nice cod that I caught on surface, on fly, on a pike styled popper that was like 30 centimeters long. So yeah, it was awesome. But Dill muffed that shot up. I've got a photo somewhere. I don't know if it's going to ever make it on Instagram because it sucked. But yeah, so that's me why I sort of got into fly fishing. And that also leads me to the question, we're talking about natives. That's the thing I'm looking forward to most once we can move around. Like, one, I want to go home and see my family. I haven't seen them in quite a while. I was planning a trip there just before the new lockdowns came in, but I missed that boat by days. Like, they told me, I think they shafted on a Thursday and I was heading there on, like, the day after. So I want to go home and see my family, but I also really want to go and smack a few yellows on fly, hopefully. And if it's really tough, I'll bring a bait caster along. I'm happy as long as I catch a few fish at the start of the season. And if the water is really dirty, it is a bit more tricky with fly, but it's not impossible. So you just mean
you've got to come in.
That's where Dill comes in. I'm sitting there throwing flies, throwing my arms off.
I'll be dredging baits through the depths of the reed edges and timber and.
That's right. And Horsham has quite a...
I think I'll slant a few fish, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Dill's never been there for, and I've talked it up quite a bit. So, like I said...
I've really got into in the last year. Like, I've figured a few things out just fishing locally and a bit further north, and had a lot of fun with it. It's like, anyone who hasn't fished for yellows, I highly recommend it. Like, I don't know, they're nothing different. Like, you think about brim, cod, combine the two, it's just light fishing. Like, I don't know, 10 to 20 pound leaders throwing, whether it be spinnerbaits, big crankbaits, chatterbaits, a whole lot of fun. You can really just tailor the species to your technique and have a ball with it, whether it's fly or lure. really accessible species too.
And bait as well. You can cast bait. You don't troll bait. So you can cast a bait at it. But like, let's put it this way.
You could
troll bait. But yeah, don't go throw a bait at it. Like, if you're going to go fishing, don't throw bait. Just don't throw bait. Oh, unless it's live bait. That's actually kind of cool. Live bait is kind of cool.
No, I won't knock the old yabby. Pretty effective.
pretty effective. But yeah, I'm really, really excited to go chase some yellows. I would have liked to have gone and chased some cod, some big cod this year. That was sort of one of my really big goals, is to go chase some big cod. Couple of guys, Colby Lesko, if you haven't heard of him, you're living under a rock. He was banging a few, Lubin Pfeiffer, smashing a couple as well. So they're sort of the guys that I look up to in terms of like Murray cod fishing. I sort of wanted to emulate some of that sort of stuff. So I was more than happy to do that with swim bait rod. I've got one, and I've got fly gear for it as well, but it's going to be a mission, but that's next year's problem now.
Like, go all out. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Like anything, you put the time in and it will happen. Like my goal, I don't know, like I'm certainly not the biggest cod fisher in the world. It's a species, I don't know, the last 2 to 3 years I've really got a tinkle to.
Yeah, where'd your biggest fish come from, Dil?
Oh, the West.
Yeah, we came from came from a farm dam. So let everyone else be the judge of that. Does a cod from a farm dam count? I say no. It was on the cast. It wasn't trolling.
Not even I can give myself credit for that.
Yeah, let's just put it that way. what was it? The first lure you threw in there, you caught one?
Oh, first cast got hit. Second cast. Yeah, I think it was second cast ever at a cod. Not bad. I'll take it.
Steve. That's right. Yeah. So
I think the idea of catching big fish really appeals to me, but more than anything, like I think clear water missions for me, like small water, a bit of an adventure. Like obviously you're getting not numbers of fish, but a lot more, but just it's very visual seeing them on surface. I loved fishing like smaller swim baits in particular. You can watch fish just ram out of snags and absolutely just destroy them. A lot of lures get very eaten and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Ooh, I tell you what, I'm dreaming of warmer days, that's for sure. So yeah. So I think at the moment, as soon as lockdown lists, one, I want to see Dill. I want to see my family. We want to start filming some stuff, getting some really nice photos. But yeah, I reckon the Southwest trout's probably on my agenda. And if the trout failure, Hopkins down there, ski lane, vibes. You'll catch brim, hand over fist, possibly a few perch and stuff. It can be pretty simple fishing if you've got a sounder and the right equipment and the right day. Like where we fish, we probably should have mentioned it. We fish out of kayaks. We fish out of Hobies. It's what we've done forever. So we like basically wherever you can put a kayak and or walk there, that's what we do a lot of. We're also lucky enough to have a couple of friends that have some really good boats that'll let us get out there as well. One of my friends has just bought a new boat in the last 6 months. I've already teed up a few sessions with him. Coming into the warmer months, we'll be looking at some tuna and kings. So that's some stuff that we're hoping to get a lot of content on as well.
We will touch on that now. Like we've talked about a lot of light tackle stuff, but summer down here, like it's a very new thing. What would you say within the last 5 years, I'd say summer bluefin, Mitch.
That's right. So obviously Dill's ticked off a fair few summer bluefin. Last year I worked for University of Tasmania conducting some bluefin tuna surveys. So I've worked a little bit within the fishing industry as well. To be fair, we should probably talk about what jobs we do and what we've done. Anyway, we'll do that in a second. But so I worked down there in the tuna fishery and it was awesome. Like you could really see, from all reports, it was a bit of a strange year, but it was really cool to see times where people were catching fish and sort of the size scales that moved through as well. I wasn't lucky enough to see any barrels in the flesh where I was stationed, but
they're a lot later in the year in the end there.
Yeah, that's right. And I think
the study ended.
That's right. And I think was it Kobe or Kobe Rothwell, Bodie Panberg over in
Fort Mac. Yeah, Fort Kobe Mac. Knocked over, don't quote me on this, sorry, Kobe. I think it was a 96-kilo fish on top water.
Yeah.
That was only 6 weeks ago. That was a cracking fish on a big, I think it was a ASWB SS120 that got the bite, so. And it was just hooked by the thinnest bit of skin, but he managed to knock that fish over. That was on PE6, I think Stellar 8K. So, just shows, like, can get lucky. That was a cracking fish, that.
Yeah, I'm super excited to get my sea legs on. Probably suffer a bit of seasickness while I'm at it, but one of my goals in the next 12 months is definitely tuna. It would be nice to get a good size fish, but I really want to get a tuna on a fly too. And our old boss, Scotty Gray, has been doing that a little bit. So I'm itching to get out and try and catch one on fly as well. So
doable. And a few people have sort of woken up to that, especially in terms of fly fishers and spearos, everyone sort of realizing just how accessible these fish were. I think it was early January last year, we were looking for kingfish, say, I think just off Barwon Heads, just at the front of Port Phillip Bay there. And we're finding, I remember at one stage, we found bluefin, mind you, these are all 20 to 35 kilo fish in 6 meters of water. It's just mind blowing. And these fish are just hungry, they're angry. Of course they're moody some days, but hey, if you can go out and catch a tuna literally 20 minutes after launching your boat within an hour's drive of Melbourne, that is phenomenal.
Yeah, and that,
it used to be all out of the continental shelf at Portland between, say, April and June each year. You had a short window, you had a long way to travel, but now they're just such an accessible fish and such an awesome range of sizes too. It's great to see.
That's right. People catching tinnies, people catching small boats. A few guys do it in kayaks. Now, that is definitely one of my big goals is to get a tuna and also a kingfish out of my kayak. Now, No, I'm not going to say it. I was about to mention the word trolling and me doing something along those lines, but I won't mention that because that's sacrilegious. So we're not, no.
I would if I had to.
Yeah, to be fair, to get a kingfish out of my kayak, if I had to troll a live squid or a live bait, that's pretty cool. It's pretty wicked.
The North Shore there, it's a ripple on the surface and launch a popper their way. Done it off a jet ski, I'm sure I can do it off a kayak.
I reckon. I think that's going to be one of our big missions. And with any luck, if we find some fish, Dylan and I have been talking about buying a drone. So there's been some guys on YouTube, Pelagic Pursuit, that's been putting up some sick footage of some GTs on with a drone eating stick baits and stuff. And if we can emulate half of that down here with either cod or kingfish or tuna, we're going to be hitting some seriously cool content. So we have
inspiring. That's all I have to say about it. Especially sitting in lockdown watching footage of GTs and everything else coming out and obliterating top water. I'm just sitting here getting quite moist, if I want to say that. I think I will. There's no other way to describe it. It is impressive footage.
Yeah. So
I'm just watching big shit eat stuff off the top. Makes me think about summer, warm days. Standing there getting sunburnt, watching tuna and kings rippling off on the surface. That's what you live for. That's cool.
I think it's probably good to mention, I think, where some of our inspirations came from in terms of the podcast and also the content that we're going to release on YouTube as well at some point. I would say, and I think Dylan will agree with me on this, people Pelagic Pursuit, what's his name? I've forgotten his name.
Is it?
Yep. Brooksy, Morning Tide, the original Morning Tide crew, Brooksy, Cavi, Briggsy, they all do some sweet stuff.
Content. It's not just someone standing there explaining how they're twitching their squid jig lights.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It shows the story. It's cool.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we want to do as well, is showing the story. Showing people what we love and why we love it. So, we've got some grand plans, but we're sort of, like I said, we're in our infancy. This is podcast numero uno, or in Finnish, it's oopsie. I don't know. It's crazy language over there. So, podcast number...
That last sentence, that was cool.
Podcast number one, as terms of other podcasts that we listen to as well, I obviously listen to the Intermediate Line, Australia's number one fly fishing podcast. Fly fishing. So that's Chris Adams and Voltsy. I've forgotten Voltsy's first name. Anyway, those guys, they're a bit of an inspiration to me to deliver this sort of content and also helping me a lot with their fly fishing as well. Those guys have been fantastic. Who do you listen to, Dale?
It's funny, I've only really just discovered podcasts in this last lockdown or so, but I've been Australian Lure Fishing podcast with Greg Vinyl. obviously that's a, he's got a lot of episodes, but there's some very cool content in there. But one I really like, it's not super fishing related, but the Noob Spiro. Like, I do a bit of spear fishing myself, and they're two very fun guys who do it, and some really cool content, some really cool guests. I don't know, like, I've almost gone through all their podcast episodes now and highly rate it. But the Ebb Tide Tackle as well. What is it? The Outflow podcast with John and Andy.
Yep.
Some awesome stories. Guys are really good at describing it. Very visual. It's a great listen.
And really good at describing technique-based stuff as well. So
incredibly. So if you're into, like, they mainly focus on, obviously, like, Murray Cod, GT, anything top water, and it, they do it so damn well.
Yep. So, yeah, and like that's stuff that we'll hopefully touch on as well in the future as we go through with the experience. We don't really want to talk by ourselves on topics that we don't know anything about and just throw people on a wild hunt for no reward, listening to information that's not correct. We want to talk to the right people that have the right information. So,
like, we'll be getting, yeah, we want to talk to as many people as we can. Like, obviously, you're going to have to put up with both of us and our horrible voices for a little bit, but mind you, there'll be plenty of breaks in between. And especially once COVID's over, we'll definitely be getting a few interviews going and can't wait.
That's right. So once COVID's over, once we can head down to the Southwest, we haven't talked to too many people down there yet, but I reckon we could tee up a couple of interviews over maybe
I'm coming for you.
Yeah, you know who you are. And if you think you know who you are and you're not one of them, suck it.
Yeah.
So yeah, other podcasts that I listen to, because I feel like it's probably good to pay attention to the people that are giving inspiration, like I said before. Also Flow State, they release some cool stuff, but they're more top end barra sort of people. Permit, like some cool stuff way up north. So that's like, geographically speaking, ebb tide down here, intermediate line, southeast Queensland. What else do I listen to fishing wise? Social Fishing also have some really cool content in terms of their podcast. They're based sort of mid New South Wales, mainly all freshwater stuff. So if you're looking ahead for freshwater stuff, so cod, trout, yellows, those guys have some cool content as well. But yeah, so that's a bit about the podcasting scene in fishing at the moment. And if there's the other ones we don't know about, let us know. We're always interested to see what other people are doing as well.
Absolutely. And if there's anyone you want us to have a chat with, we're all ears. We want to hear from him. Absolutely.
So going back to what we saw and talking before, we're sort of a bit off our little schedule list as well. I guess we'll talk about our qualifications in terms of fishing and the environment. And I think it's one of the things that we'd like to add to this podcast as well, is a bit more of the science variety. So science behind fishing and science behind our fish as well. I think it'll be good for people to have a bit of a dose of reality. It's looking at how our fisheries are and some of the science behind that as well. So, Dil, what are your qualifications to be on a podcast and backing some stuff up on YouTube?
Well, obviously there's the fishing side of it, but on the education side, like, not that that's a qualification to do any of this, but the old Bachelor of Fisheries and Aquaculture that I got down in Warrnambool there, so I don't know how much attention I paid in class with all those great options down that way, but I staggered through and I got there in the end and learned a lot. And certainly it has elevated just my understanding of how, say, our environment works and our waterways, how everything interacts. And at the end of the day, not only is that my passion and the science side of it, my passion, it's just grown into this whole other side that's just given me this deep, deep appreciation for everything when I'm out in the wild and just around the world. And it is damn right cool. And Mitch, you've been pretty, you'd understand that, I'm sure. Like, you've done, well, you can describe what you've done there.
That's right. So I was 1 or 2 years in front of you, Dil. When did you start uni?
Yeah, I think I met you in my first year when you were in third, roughly.
Yeah, right. So I started in 2013. So I don't know what year you started, Dil.
2015.
No. Yeah, right. So yeah, I was in my third year. So I studied a Bachelor of Marine Biology, Bachelor of Environmental Science, majoring in Marine Biology. And then I also went on to do an honors project after that as well. So I did honors. So I've done a bachelor and an honors degree as well. So that's sort of my I did that because I love fishing. So I love talking fishing, love learning everything I can about fishing. And especially if I can improve the waterways that our fisheries, that our fish live in, well, that just means it's not, obviously it's nice and it's a nice warm thing to say, oh yeah, I improve waterways. But realistically, I just want to go there and smash way more fish. And I just want everyone else to smash more fish. Like if I can improve the environment.
We also want everyone to have that same appreciation. Like say everyone who fishes at least just have that same appreciation for the whole environment, our ecosystems. And if you don't fish, that's all fine, but just understand how important it is for everyone in our day-to-day lives. Like obviously it affects us massively because this is our passion and our lifestyles being out in the world. But for everyone, whether it comes down to your water quality or just your surrounding environment where you live, it's all very relatable.
Yeah, so we've both been to uni. And then in terms of work, volunteer experience, I've done, I guess I still work somewhat in the fishing related industry. So I work for a group called Fish Care Victoria. So we're a not-for-profit organization that focuses on promoting and educating people around sustainable fishing practices. I bet you wouldn't have thought that I'd said that before, Dil. So I work with Fish Care. We do education stuff around fishing practices all across the bottom of Victoria. I volunteered with them for 5 years and now I've been employed with them coming up for 2 years now. So I'm making some content and stuff for those guys as well. So I work for them. I've also done some like science education sort of stuff through some environmental science school programs. I've worked for Nature Glenelg Trust doing some restoration projects. Dil and I have both worked for Austral Research and Consulting, which is looking at fish surveys and water quality stuff. What else have I done? Oh, I've started a chapter with Ozfish as well. So I'm quite heavily involved in, I guess, the environmental side of it. But Dil is probably more qualified in the actual fishing side of it. What have you been doing the fishing side of it, Dil?
Well, lots of stuff. So I'm a lot more fresh off the boat, if you like, just from uni. So straight from uni, I moved to Melbourne. Like I think, Mitch, you've covered that with Austral and UTAS and everything else. A little bit of work we've done there.
Yeah, we're doing tuna stuff with UTAS as well. I did that.
I've more so branched off and I've gone a bit of the conservation way. Like I'm currently working with Zoos Victoria. Since it's not too fishing related, obviously, I won't jump too far into that. But that is a fantastic organisation to work with. A lot of fun. Get to see some cool animals all the time. Pretty much working with
absolute silly stuff that the patrons do on a day-to-day basis when they're at the zoo.
That is the sweetest part.
Oh, the stories that Dylan has told me about working in a zoo makes me want to work at a zoo just for that reason alone. So if you want to go to the zoo to watch the animals, it's great. But also to go there to watch some people.
Just as good. If not better.
Arguably better.
A busy summer day or a busy Easter Sunday at the zoo. Oh, you'll love it. You'll love it. But back on track. So I also work for Trellies. So if you're in Victoria, I'm sure you've heard of Trellies. I am down at the Lavin store. I found myself there last year and I've been there ever since. Absolutely love it. Fantastic group of people to work for and a very, very incredible range of products. So,
and for those who haven't heard of Trellies, what's Trellies, Dil?
Well, it's a fishing shop.
Fishing shop. Good.
It is. Like, that's putting it simple, but obviously they do a lot more outdoor stuff. So, like, our Laverton store, we do a little bit in the hunting side, not too much, mainly fishing, specializing in a lot of everything. Obviously, snapper and squid, massive down our end of the bay, but also with monstrous range of cod lures. So I'd say cod is probably our biggest market, even in the middle of Melbourne. It is just immense. A lot of topwater stuff, a lot of soft plastic. So obviously like snapper and mulloway, very popular. Brim is just gargantuan. So if you're a brim fisher, come in, check our wall. I have put some pretty cool product on there. It is juicy, very juicy.
Standards,
tell me what you want, we'll do it. So we want to hear, like, tell us what you want. What products? Let me know.
By the way, we also have no affiliation with Trellies. Yeah.
No. But I'll throw that in there. Happy to give them a plug.
Yes. Come on, Trally. You.
Yeah, but for those who are into hunting, like the Shepparton and Bendigo stores, a lot of hunting gear too. So.
And then there's also one down in Geelong as well. So, there's plenty of stuff going on in terms of that. And then before that, you also worked at another fishing store called...
the Tackle Shack down in Warrnambool. So if you're ever down that part of the world, please jump in and check them out. Like, I started there with Scotty Gray in 2016 when that store just got off the ground. And since I've left Warrnambool, I know that store's almost doubled in size. So if you're there, check it out. They've got a really cool range of product that's local to that zone, and they'll help you out.
Mate, and especially if you're going down there chasing brim, trout, estuary perch, all those sort of things, the guys in the store there, very switched on. Corey McLaren, is he still there?
Absolutely is.
Yep, so Corey McLaren, tournament angler, so he'll hook you up with all the brim stuff, and then they definitely know their stuff when it comes to the saltwater stuff.
The bloke is a brim.
The man is a brim. He's not a man. He's a fish, and he's a brim. So yeah, he will definitely help you out as well. So we have our connections, and we have our qualifications to get us out.
We like to think we do. We'll see.
And like I said earlier, if we're not qualified for something, we're at least going to make up with it with passion. We'll
find someone who is.
That's right. We'll find somebody who is. So that's a bit more about us. How we met now. I know the story very, very well. Dylan's O Week. Dill came up to me one day. I was at the Fish Care Victoria stand. So we were in the Southwest group, and I was sitting there on my chair, spruiking all things praises about Fish Care Victoria. And don't get me wrong, I praise them. Like, all how we do some really cool work just trying to get people into the sport and creating the passion that we have. So I was there. Dill comes up to me, and we got on the topic of fishing, and I don't think Dill really expected it from me. But Dill was like, "Oh, like, do you do any fishing?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, a little bit." And Dill was like, "What sort of fishing do you like?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know if this guy likes fishing or not." So I was like, "Oh, I just like catching like brim and trout and stuff."
I think it was at that point I dropped, who knows how far this was into the conversation. I clearly remember dropping the words OSP Ben.
I clearly remember that.
Like, I think you literally like fell back in your chair and sort of had some sort of half spasm, like a neuron had just joined in your brain.
That's right. Yeah, the words, it's like, I don't know if the words OSP bent minnow translate so well to any other fisherman, and if you haven't used one, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, like, you only have to have a look in my tackle cupboard to see how many of the things I have, and probably the same with Mitch or any other person, or if you've even thought about targeting a brim. For anyone up north or overseas or anything, like, these things get very, very eaten.
Yeah, very, very, very eaten. I've lost quite a few. And also, it's one of the flies that I'm really trying to emulate with, is trying to create a bent minnow fly, because they are just that deadly effective. Anyway, so Dill drops OSP bent minnow into the conversation, and we hit it up like a house on fire. And it wasn't soon after that that we were fishing and exploring and traps and all around the southwest of Victoria.
Just fishing for 18 hours straight. And then KFC.
Oh, geez. I told someone recently that story at work, how we went fishing for, like, what was it, 16 hours, and then we went $30 worth of KFC. I've never felt so bad afterwards, but I felt so good because I think I caught an 85 centimeter mulloway, and we also smashed a heap of other mulloway, brim, and we also... And some gigantuan perch on the cast, fish arrows, casting underneath some bushes, smashing...
Bust off, skull dragon, big fish, win bites, losing more. Just dream sessions.
Dream sessions. We've had quite a few dream sessions, actually.
I don't think I've ever caught so many mulloway in my life compared to that day. That was good.
I actually had another day. I've caught more mulloway than I had a session down in probably the best known mulloway fishery in Victoria. If you don't know what it is, it's the Glenelg. Say it once, say it again. Yeah, I caught 20, I think it was 25 mulloway in a session. Unheard of. Having said that, the largest fish was only 71 centimetres, but if you haven't caught a mulloway and you want to catch a mulloway, Glenelg River, it's your best shot. Even when it's like this and dirty, they're in there somewhere, trust me.
Yeah, there's lots of cool spots to fish there. Very, very pretty place, if you mind that, like, very visual. The cliffs there are amazing. Heaps of EPs, heaps of little mulloway. Like, you don't get a lot of big mulloway there. I have seen some cracking fish come from it.
Some seriously large fish there.
But I've seen fish, I think, 21 kilos I saw a guy catching a live salmon there once, and that thing was massive.
Yeah, well, the publican got a massive one there too. Oh, and they and the pub there is good. The pub, if you're going to go there, go fishing, stop in at the pub, stop at the caravan park. It's really good too. So.
And the kiosk, if you ever, even if you're driving through, go see Dino and get a feed. I think he still owns it.
But, hope so. That's
wacky Jaffel flavors there. I remember having this. It was like some chicken asparagus and gravy Jaffel, and it was. Oh, I remember eating it, walked back in, and got another one. And I was like, yeah. You can't not.
That's one of the other things I'm really excited about doing, and I've been thinking about it a lot, is trying to go down there and get a Marlowan fly. That's one of my big ticket items, quite achievable down there. And then I'm not the first guy to do it. There's been a lot of guys doing it. And to be fair, one of the kings of Marlowan fly, Dan Dingle, if you ever listen to this, my inspiration is you. So. Take that.
Support fishing, will you, Dan? He wants to.
yeah. Come back to fishing. I know you've been riding mountain bikes a fair bit, but just come back. We want to see you juicy fishing. Anyway, that's a bit about how we met. We could go into that for hours. We could talk about that for hours. We'll start wrapping it up. But I guess we've touched on it. But yeah, what's happening in the world? Coronavirus down here in Victoria. It's not a great time to be down here.
Getting better, but still pretty grim. Like, we're on the tail end of stage 4 restrictions where I am. And
hopefully.
Fully understandable why, but it's getting tiring, I tell you what.
So hopefully they ease up a bit. I think it's 13th of September, so my birthday is the day of it. I think it's... Is it 13th? I thought it was Sunday the 13th, which is... Yeah, my birthday, Yeah. So hopefully with any luck, that's the day that restrictions start to ease and Dylan and I can catch up to do some of these podcasts in person. So that's what's happening around us. And then our hopes, dreams, expectations post-lockdown. Now, I guess we've sort of touched on this with our trout and our Yarra Valley as well. But like, really, I know Dylan's been talking about some fisheries with the word east in them for a while now, and he's hanging to get back there. I don't know that. So what are some other things you really want to do post?
I think absolute top of my list at the minute would be, I don't know, obviously water's warming up, weather's getting a bit better. Coming into spring, you're going to get all your post-spawn brim. So I'm thinking east. Gippy Lakes, I absolutely love. Even further east, Marlow, Bem River, Mallacoota. I just love the variety, but like, I don't know, I can go down there and target anything, but I think the brim definitely tickle my fancy more than everything else. It's just the availability and the range of techniques you can use. But like you might have pictured earlier, bent minnows, shallow water, it does not get better than that. There's a lot of very big fish down there. It's very visual fishing in some of the most beautiful, pristine areas you'll ever find up in the lakes. Like big waterways, you cover a lot of distance, but you can catch some cracking fish. But the one thing that sort of draws me east a lot more than west this day and age when I go chasing estuary species is just the bycatch. So dusky flathead. Now, I never really bothered targeting them too much until last year, but I sort of fell in love with them, if you like. Like, I've started throwing a lot more bigger lures when I'm even targeting brim just purely to get the bycatch. Like, you might, some days you might half your brim captures, but... Number one, you're getting bigger fish. Number two, the duskies, and duskies on surface, it is insane. I'm very keen for Mitch to get onto that action. Like, yeah, sure, you sometimes go through a couple of $100 in a session thanks to Taylor. But when you see a gigantic frog lift off from the bottom 10 meters away and just come suss out your lure and just inhale it. I don't know. It's very, very much similar to Murray cod fishing, but there's something almost more impressive just watching a gigantic flat carpet come up and literally detonate your little tiny hard body. It's awesome fishing.
Yeah, that's you've been talking it up a lot, and you've been doing some fishing with some other crew down that way, and that's probably really the Southwest Trout. It'd be good. It's sort of close to me. It's 2 hours away. It's pretty accessible for me at the moment, and obviously like some estuary perch stuff down there. Home's only 3 hours away from Horsham. to some yellows, but really Dill has just been hyping up. Like, he's the hype king when it comes to East Gippsland. And obviously he's only in his infancy, really exploring a lot of the waterways down there. Like, he's done some brim fishing comps.
The surface, I don't think, if you live down there in your lifetime, you couldn't scratch the surface. There's just endless systems and endless amounts of water and species to cover.
Because there's rivers, lakes, what is that? Bem River, Mitchell River. What else is down there? Like, then there's the Gippsland, like, obviously all the lakes.
The whole Gippsland lake system in one, like, that is phenomenal. But, like, I just love it. Like, it can be a very tricky, fickle system, but just the quality of fish. Like, mind you, I've had plenty of donut sessions at that joint, but you often have to move around to find fish. But when you do, you're talking, like, brim, like, a kilo fish there some days hardly gets a look. You won't even get a photo of it. Like, other days they're hard to find, but when you do hit them, you can be pulling kilo and a half fish just looking at them like, this is phenomenal. And you're pulling a dozen fish that size, like, doesn't get cooler. Not all the time you get it like that, but when it does, it makes all those trips east well worthwhile. You soon forget about all the hours and miles you put in, that's for sure.
Yeah, I see. So I reckon I'm pretty excited to get down there and do some of that with you as well, Dill. I reckon it's going to be phenomenal.
Sneaky summer bass sessions in there too.
Well, that was the other thing, the bass and the estuary perch. Like, some of the waterway that I've seen some of the people catching estuary perch and bass out of, I don't even know where they are. All I know is that basically in every single one of the systems, and it's a pretty good bet that if you head upriver in a lot of these systems, you'll find at least estuary perch, and then tend to, like, once the bass have done their spawning and done their thing, they'll also head upriver from what I can see too. So if you chase,
that's the exciting thing. Oh, sorry, Mitch. That's the one exciting thing with them. Like, we're all about heading to a destination and just nutting it out for yourself. Like, I'm sure every podcast has said this, and everyone you'll speak to said this. Google Earth is your best friend. I do not know how many hours me and Mitch have sent collectively, or all my mates. I know I'll do it with Hawksy a lot as well. You sit there on Google Earth sending GPS marks and screenshots to each other sometimes for hours upon hours in a day, just thinking about, oh, look at this system, this bend in the river, that hole, or if we drag our kayaks for 3 kilometres above this bloody sandbank or rapid, what's going to be above there? And that's the adventure, and that's why we love that style of fishing. Does not get fun, just the adventure. Sometimes it's a bust, sometimes you'll find the most awesome bit of water you'll ever hit, and that's the best part.
Yeah, there's always another bend in the river. And if there's not another bend, then there's another river with another bend in it. So that's what we're always chasing, is chasing those fish. And it's surprising, like, the further that we look, and not necessarily further, but, like, if you just look in the different places, there's a lot of fish around that people aren't targeting. Like, all the people, it's insane. Like, even in Port Phillip Bay, like, there are fish, like, people are sitting in the channel chasing snapper and stuff. But, like, have a look somewhere else. Like, have a look, like, on the flats. Like, and have a look there at different times, different tides. Like, there are fish everywhere.
Like, you hear, like, Port Phillip Bay, you seem to get a bit like a big estuary system. Everything's moving around. Like, I came here from southwest Victoria, and I don't think I fished for 3 months thinking, oh, my God, I live in Melbourne. There's going to be so much shit fishing. Oh, yeah, pinkies. I like pinkies. So that's about as fun as it's going to get. And then, I don't know, I started just going out, applying my knowledge I've taken elsewhere and just searching for new locations more than anything, and doing a bit of back research. And, like, the estuary perch fishing in Port Phillip Bay, like, when you start looking around, like, I won't give away too many hints yet.
I wouldn't give away any perch mafia. It'll get you and you will be killed. So
I will be. But
yes, you will be. Just
looking under my nose, I found a species I love very close to home and some absolute behemoths. Just got to look for them.
That's it.
Try some different things, test it out, and eventually they're there. And I'm sure I've gone along, tried a few different spots, and they were there, and I've missed out. But then I know, for example, there's spots I've fished for years and years and years and years, haven't caught a single perch. But then, who found them the other day, Mitch? Exactly where I fished probably 100 times.
I found them, Dylan. You did. I found them, and I found them on fly. So I don't know if that's...
That's the cool thing we want to really do, is, like, that's why we want to focus fly, focus lure, cross the two together.
Yeah, well,
just get an angle, and that's what's cool.
And especially, like, your metro style of fishing at the moment, like, you've been doing some really cool stuff in Metro Melbourne, it's not new stuff that you've been doing, but it is stuff. But it is stuff that I think I could definitely achieve on fly. I'm probably going to smoke some flies, smoke some fly lines. But like, it's all for the fun and games of it all. And to be fair, if I got to go pull out one of his stick minnows out of the box and throw a few hard bodies and stuff, I'm going to do it because let's be real, I still just love fishing and casting lures for the sake of casting lures and catching fish. So like, I'm not purist fly fisherman. And if you saw the way that I fly fished, you would realize that too.
Absolutely. But anyway, hey, also break out the magic wand and I'll make it look good. I'm not afraid to admit that.
Yeah, well, that's right. To be fair, I'm like I guarantee I'll be able to get dill onto some good bream and some cod in the coming season. It's just a matter of when or if, or I guess to be fair, we just have to kind of see how COVID goes through. So we can't make too many hopes and too many, no. we can do a lot of hoping, but not a lot of promising. But yeah, that sort of covers up everything that we had to talk about in our first podcast, which I've got titled down here as Hopes, Dreams and Exploitation. So that's a bit about us. And I think that's going to wrap us up for our first episode.
No, we don't want to bore everyone. So
we
the right job, I'd hope. Well, everyone's going to be the judge of that.
Yeah, well, that's right.
If you've done shit, tell us.
Yeah, if you've done shit, admittedly, I reckon the first half's going to be worse than the last half. We certainly flowed through that last half a bit better.
If you push through it, we'd like to say thank you and
follow us in our social medias. At the moment, we're just on Instagram. Like I said, we're building. To be fair, I don't really like Facebook, so I'll probably steer clear of Facebook for a while. So Instagram, what are we, Dill?
Cast Media.
Yeah, on the Cast Media. So hunt us down. Give us a follow. That'd be great. And like I said, and like Dill said, tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like about the podcast. Tell us what you want to hear. Do you want us to tell you more about Metro stuff in Melbourne? Do you want me to talk about more about... Yeah, do you want me to talk about more about fly fishing? Let us know. Last thing.
Anything.
What was that?
I was just saying species, techniques. If you want to see it, you want to hear about it, let us know. We'll give it a shot. Or if we know nothing, we'll find someone who does.
That's right. Dill's been to New Zealand chasing kingfish. He gags for kingfish, gags for tuna. And they're all the things that I want to do as well. So that's our hopes, dreams, and our exploitations. So thank you very much for listening this far through in the podcast. Let us know what you think. And then we'll tune in for hopefully next week. We'll be back with another one on some topic that we haven't covered because it's the second episode, so whatever.
It is. We'll leave it there, eh?
That sounds good. How do I stop all this stuff? Who knows? All right. We'll catch you later, everyone. See ya.